Welcome to episode 21 of the Just Keep Spinning podcast. My name is Andrea and this is...
I'm Andrew.
You're Andrew.
I'm Andrew.
Okay. So let's just get started here really quick. Our Instagram is Just Keep Spinning podcast. Our email, if you want to email us, say you love us, hate us, you maybe want to be a guest, you have some music you want us to feature on here, it's going to be justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. So like I said, you can always also DM us on Instagram if you have any suggestions or anything like that. So let me really quick highlight some events that are coming up. On November 29th, Georgia Smith is coming to the Van Buren, which I'm really excited about. So if you don't know who Georgia Smith is, she's from the UK and she's like R&B, but she's not like probably traditional R&B, but she's more in that vein. So if you're into R&B or if you're into really chill and relaxed music, that's definitely something you're going to want to check out. And the other event is, I believe it's the Saturday, November 3rd. Sorry, so we just got back from vacation literally like a few hours ago, so my brain's a little jumbled, so please forgive me. But Saturday, November 3rd is going to be the re-grand opening, I guess you can say, of Tres Haches Cafe. And there's going to be the Phoenix Funkettos are going to be playing. If anybody knows who Rudy is, he goes by El Rudy. He's going to be playing a cool set. So I'm really excited to see those guys play. There's going to be mariachis, folklorico, face painting. What else is there going to be, Andrew?
I think you covered everything. There's going to be a couple vendors, and closing at the light is going to be Las Calacas.
Oh, that's right. Las Calacas, who we've talked about on here. They're like a cumbia.
Give me fusion, a fusion
band, so they're going to be playing. And I know Las Calacas is, I believe, from what time do you know?
They're closing it out, so I believe they're from 9 to 10.
9 to 10. And the DJs will be playing from 3 to 7.
Correct. So, yeah, there'll be entertainment all day. I believe in the morning there'll be mariachis and just like some vendors. But, you know, we're stay tuned to Tres Haches Cafe's Instagram page, and the post will be up pretty soon.
And another event that came out over the past weekend that will be happening is the Downtown Phoenix Record Show. So this is going to be on December 8th. So it's a little bit of ways away, but, you know, you can't save up your money. That's what I'm telling you right now. It's going to be from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. It's at Crescent Ballroom. There is going to be a really small admission fee of $3, but what's really cool is that there's going to be door prizes. And I've seen some of, like, on the flyer and stuff on the Instagram, if you want to follow it, it's DTPHX, so, like, Downtown Phoenix Record Show. And if you want to keep up the event, you can go ahead and follow that. It's sponsored by Discogs, The Merch Pro, Crescent, U-Turn Audio, Grand Avenue Records, and Java Magazine. So I'm pretty sure they're just going to be giving out crazy door prizes.
Yeah, we will have the owner of Grand Avenue Records on before the record show, so we'll have more details on that event at that time.
Yeah, since he's a sponsor of it, he's going to come on here and talk about a little bit more. So we're really excited. We're actually going to be selling at that event for the podcast just some, I guess you can say, overflow records that we have.
Yeah, just different things that we don't necessarily need. So we'll be selling some of our everything from our personal collection, some dollar records of different stuff that we really don't listen to. And then right next to me, there will be another booth.
Yeah, so actually I'll be doing double duty that day because, you know, obviously I'm on the podcast. So we're going to have our table, and there's also going to be a table for the Crate Creepers, which is the all ladies record club I'm in. So we're going to be on there as well. So come and say hi. Come get a sticker. Talk to us. We'll have a little box of records for sale as well. Just so we can, you know, conversate. And it's just a good way. Record shows are a good way for you to connect, reconnect with your community. Even if you're maybe not super into collecting records, you never know who you're going to meet there and what you're going to discover. So I always encourage people to go out to events like this. And, you know, $3, yeah, it does cost to get in. But, you know, what's I know $3 can be a lot to some people, but I know there's other record shows around the valley that sometimes it costs more than $3 to get into. And on this one, you have a chance of, you know, maybe winning something super cool. So I'd say save up for that if you can, and definitely show up.
Do we have any pickups this weekend?
Are you serious?
we'll get into our pickups later. What are we talking about this week? Just weekend recap, I guess you can say.
Yeah, because so we went out of town, just have a vacation, family vacation. We took our daughter to Disneyland, which
we'll get into.
Yeah, we'll get into that. But we took our daughter to Disneyland and we basically did some shopping. So I guess basically this episode is just going to be talking about the experience at the different record stores that we went to, because we did actually visit 3 stores and we spent a good amount of time at the stores and, you know, good vibes at all of them.
Yeah, so, but before that, let's do This Day in Music.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
And I completely closed it out. So, on This Day in Music, so this weekend was actually Andrea's birthday. So it was October the 27th. So we're going to do it for her birthday. And I'm going to do it the year, at least you can say.
So you remember how I think it was last episode I was like, oh, you could have done my birthday, but he did it this time. So shout out to Andrew sitting right next to me for remembering to do that.
So I chose, I think last episode I chose 2000. I chose 2001, but the reason I chose 2001 is because it has to be something that I know you remember on your birthday in 2001.
I thought you were going to do my date of birth.
Well, you can do your date of birth, but we already went over your date of birth song.
I don't remember, go on. I think it was Whitney.
I think it was Whitney. So let me go through the top 10 real quick. Jay-Z, Izzo, H-O-V-A.
You mean H to the Izzo, V to the Izzy?
I guess so. Enrique Iglesias, Hero, was number 9.
God, I hated that. I mean, it wasn't a bad song, but like, and I love like slow jams and stuff, but that is so, it's too much cheese for me.
I mean, was that at Enrique before he removed his mole?
Yes, that was when he still had his mole. That was the music video that Jennifer Love Hewitt was in, and it was super dramatic, and she's like, no, like screaming, and every girl that he had in his music video, he dated.
Creep. Number 8, Blue Cantrell, Hit 'Em Up Style.
Yep, you know what that song's about, right?
No, but I'm sure it's...
It's saying basically, like, you know, she's getting a divorce and she's taking to the cleaners.
Do it to it. Number 7, Stained, It's Been a While.
the song that is so depressing. That guy just looks depressing. Like
a lot of Stained's music is very depressing.
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Since something, whatever.
It's been a while since I've been very happy. And this album,
okay, and I know I always talk about music videos, but it's because, like, that was the era of the music video. But seriously, in that freaking music video, he's sitting there with his acoustic guitar with one candle, and he's just sitting there, and it's just panning to him, and he's just, like, strumming on the guitar, and he has this really, I don't know, just look it up if you can. It's really depressing.
I mean, the most depressing, I think, well, the most impactful lyric in there, he said, and I still remember just the way you taste. And like he licked his lips in the video.
Okay, I don't even remember that. Now I'm going to have to rewatch it.
Yeah. So, yeah, that dude's super depressed. Number 6, Star Spangled Banner by Whitney Houston. I guess she might have covered the Star Spangled Banner, or is that her actual song? I'm not really sure.
It's because of it was near September the 11th. That's probably why that was on there.
Yeah. Number 5.
Really quick, there's a really iconic performance of Whitney Houston doing the Star Spangled Banner. So obviously after all that 9/11, you know, stuff that happened, there is a resurgence in patriotism, if you want to call it that. And that's why the Star Spangled Banner was probably, because you said it's 2001, right?
Yes.
So that makes sense. Okay, yeah. But it's that specific performance of Whitney doing the Star Spangled Banner, I believe it was at the Super Bowl, but go on.
So, moving on, number 5 was Jagged Edge with Nelly, Where the Party At?
I don't think I have that, actually.
I remember that song. Number 4, Genuine Differences.
I freaking still listen to that song. I'm sorry if you heard that, but because I was so enthused right now that I freaking slammed my fist down on the desk. I love that song and the album.
Number 3, Mary J. Blige, Family Affair.
I had that album as well.
Number 2, Fallen, Alicia Keys.
Of course, that's a classic song. Beautiful song. Beautiful, beautiful song. Beautiful lyrics.
And number 1, Yo Girl.
No, wait. Is it J-Lo? Oh my God, I'm sorry. I probably broke the speakers.
It's Jennifer Lopez featuring Ja Rule, I'm Real.
So, okay. So this means it's the remix. So let me say something really quick right now.
I'm looking at the level and you went off the charts when you did that. And I'm not going to edit that. So I'm sorry to anybody.
I'm sorry.
Because like,
if
oh my
I scared
gosh.
Your animal, if you like have this on a background noise and I scared your animal or woke up your baby, I'm sorry.
Or I blew your eardrum out if you have headphones on. Sorry.
So, okay, really quick. As it's been covered on the podcast before, that I have a special relationship. It's not even love-hate. It's just a complete dislike for Jennifer Lopez. I don't care for Jennifer Lopez. I feel like she's a fraud, you know? Like, she's the beginning of, like, the whole, like, Britney might have come out before her. But I don't know. I just feel like J-Lo's fake, and I just don't care for her. Big props to her for, you know, climbing the ladder and doing whatever she did. But that song in particular. Okay, so there's this thing, and everyone knows the infamous gif of Mariah Carey being asked, like, about Jennifer Lopez, and Mariah's like, oh, I don't know her, and she's shaking her head, and her earrings are doing some swinging, you know, while she's shaking her head, and Mariah was later asked about that. I think it was earlier this year. Late last year, and she's like, what I literally meant was, like, I literally do not know her. But there was drama between the J-Lo and the MC camp because of the fact that Tommy Mottola, which was Mariah Carey's ex-husband, who is the head of the label that J-Lo was assigned to and that Mariah was still at that time currently assigned to as well. So Mariah and Tommy had divorced and he was trying to sabotage her. So for the infamous Glitter, as some of you might know what that is, it was a movie/album that Mariah Carey made, which actually isn't bad. So if you go into it with an open mind, it's a cute, fun movie. So I know I'm blabbing on here. I'm just looking at me like, what is your point here? So the point is that song in particular and the original I'm Real, I cannot stand because Mariah Carey had secured the original sample, which was, I think it was called Firecracker. Or was it by Firecracker? I can't remember right now. For the original I'm Real, not the remix with J-Lo and Ja Rule. So, and then Tommy's camp basically, like, took it from Mariah, put that on the original I'm Real because Mariah Carey was using it for Loverboy, which came out around that same time, too. So, the I'm Real remix was made because there was a song that Mariah Carey did with Ja Rule first, and it sounds so similar to I'm Real. It's amazing. So anyhow, that's another reason why I can't stand J-Lo, because Mariah's my girl, and that just adds to it. I still already didn't like J-Lo, but basically she was stealing stuff from, you know, the diva legend MC, which I love. I don't care. Some people talk about Mariah, but I'm sorry. She's a legend. Andrew knows her mostly because he liked to stare at her.
That's my girl.
And we actually talked about Mariah with the heartbreak.
Yeah, we've talked about Mariah Carey several times on this podcast. My love for her, Andrea's love for her in a different way, but my love for her because I just loved her.
You loved looking at her.
I enjoyed looking at her. And I still know she's a beautiful woman, so that hasn't changed.
Well, did you actually enjoy her music, though?
Yeah, her music's always been really good. My sisters and mom always bumped Mariah Carey, so.
So did your sisters and mom bump Mariah, or you listened to her, too? Because men, like we said, that's going to be a topic for another day, but.
Yeah, that's a topic for a different day. I did not own any Mariah Carey albums. My sisters did, but so I would listen to it, but not on my own.
But, and would you, if they put on Mariah, would you object?
Not really. I usually would just listen to it.
See, so he likes Mariah.
Anyways,
he's like, I'm gonna edit that out.
No, I'm not gonna edit anything out. Yeah, your hate run from J-Lo just keeps running on through this podcast.
It's not hate. I have facts. I have facts against J-Lo, and I'm sorry if you don't like them.
You have facts, but I'm just saying that you don't like her. Your just dislike for her runs pretty deep.
Distaste, yes.
Whatever.
Okay. So,
moving on.
Yes, moving on from that sour subject for me. this weekend we went out of town.
So we went out of town. We went to California. Like Drea said, we took our daughter to Disneyland. Really, really cool. We try to go every year for Halloween, just because it's a different setup and things like that. We try to go for Halloween and we try to go for Christmas. Those are our favorite times to go. But we went to DCA this time,
which is California Adventure,
and we were able to, like, get there early enough where it wasn't very full and ride some rides and do some stuff we haven't done. And they have a cool Coco exhibit.
Oh, yes, yes. Okay, so they had, you know, if you've, most people have watched, a lot of people have watched that movie Coco, which is basically about Dia de los Muertos. And at Disneyland, they have a whole section basically for Coco for the movie. So there's no rides or anything, but they have cool interactive stations where you can, like, hang something like a memory for a relative and you can tie it and it can go on the exhibit and you can make a mask. And then they actually had like an ofrenda. So there were two. There was one in Cars Land that was for Doc Hudson. I think that's the name of the car.
Yeah.
Because the car basically was like old and passed away in the movie or whatever it is.
I can't confirm that because maybe it happened in Cars 3.
I don't know because I'm not a Cars fan.
Yeah, we definitely see an ofrenda for that dude.
Yeah, so that dude for the car. So then there was another ofrenda on where actually by the Coco, where the Coco exhibit section was. And that one was for Ernesto de la Cruz. So, you know, if you haven't watched Coco, I guess spoilers or Cars or whatever. But basically, so Ernesto de la Cruz is in the movie and he's a musician. And Miguel's like, oh, that's my family member. So there was an ofrenda there for him and they had it looked like a real record. So it had, you know, an album cover. But the thing is, there's only the front side because it's glued to the ofrenda. So you only see the front. And then they have an actual record, like, partially sticking out. So you get the concept that it's an actual record. So I went to pull the record out and it didn't come out because everything's just glued together. And because it's, frankly, it's not real. So I posted it as a semi-joke on the podcast Instagram. And people... I'm sorry, but it's not real. Like, maybe it'll be real someday or maybe it's in the works, but it's not. And I have yet to go back on there and comment because, like I said, we literally just got back in town. You know, I wanted to post something on the podcast Instagram and I just thought it was really neat. So I just put basically like, should we cop or not? Like, but it was a joke. So it's not real. But if it ever does become real, I will definitely say something on here. But a lot of people were really excited. It made me feel bad.
Yeah, I was reading the comments and people were super pumped. And I was just like, hey, we need to address this.
They were
like,
freaking out.
Yeah, because they thought it was real. I mean, again, if you've seen the movie, then you know the whole storyline. But it was really, really cool. If you haven't seen the picture, just go on the podcast Instagram, Just Keep Spinning Podcast. And it's like the last picture we posted. We will be addressing that tonight after we get done recording and stuff like that. So, yeah, but we went to Disneyland. That was pretty much our all of our Thursday. And then on Friday, we had a late start, you know.
Really quick, though, we didn't look, and I wanted to look at any of the records at Disneyland.
Disneyland, mostly from what I know, they right now, they mostly have picture discs, which are good. I mean, if you're into collecting picture discs, but I really didn't see that much. I just seen them here and there.
Well, it's because they repressed the Haunted Mansion, the one that we have with the booklet, and... The one I just wanted, I guess it's stupid, but I just kind of wanted to see the repress. I don't know if it's a repress or reissue, but who cares? I wanted to get the double gatefold of The Night Before Christmas because we have the original picture disc, but I actually wanted like the regular like LP that's not a picture disc. So maybe next time we can grab that up.
We're supposed to go back for Christmas, so maybe we'll get it then.
Hopefully.
Back on to what I was saying before Drea had another thought. That was actually something that
went nowhere.
Not necessarily nowhere, but, you know, yeah, Disney does sell vinyl or LPs. So, you know, if you see them there, check them out. It's mostly, like I said, mostly picture discs and just the soundtracks of different music. But it's super cool. So on Friday, we went to, where did we go? We had a late start because we were tired because we were at the Disneyland for like 14 hours. We were there for all day.
Yeah, we were there all day.
And then we got a late start, and then we ended up going to just to one record store. We had planned on going to a couple, but we only went to one,
We went to Vinyl Source, which is in La Puente. So the owner of the store, his name is Gilbert, and he was there, and one of his employees was there. We only met one of them. His name was David, and they were both. And we've been to Vinyl Source before, and we've mentioned it on here. But, you know, we got to spend a little bit more time there this time, and it was definitely worth it.
Yeah, I mean, we were able... I I went through most all pretty much all of his 45s that he had behind the counter, like in the glass case. We went through a lot of his just a lot of the obviously his LPs. He had a lot of sweet, awesome Latin music, a lot of funk,
tons of Latin music,
funk, soul, disco, all of it. They had everything there. But what the, our best takeaway from it was just the conversation we were able to have with the owner.
Yeah, so I was, like, Andrew was mostly looking through the 45s, and I was looking for another section that was actually pretty much every section in there was amazing, because there was, we walked through the back. So we parked in the back, we walked through, and that room is actually pretty huge, that back room, and there's tons of records in there. But then there was the front room as well, and in the front room there was even more records in there. So we dug a little in the back room, but we dug mostly in the front room, and they, he also has, like, t-shirts for sale there. Patches, you know, stuff like that. There was a really cool 80s section of stuff that I feel like I see here sometimes, but not usually at one store. And, you know, as we always say, California just has so much, just so much more coming through there. So I looked through all the 12s, which even though he had them high, just because it was like there was so much, I was tired after that. but we had some really great conversations. Not even just about music, about horoscopes.
Yeah, so back to what you were saying about the 80s music. We talked a lot about new wave, dark wave, 80s music, and we're just talking about music in general. But one of the things we had touched on was the, like, what is an actual DJ and stuff like that, which is because it was really interesting to have that conversation, because that's something we talk about pretty often on here, that we... Me and Drea are not DJs. We, maybe you can call us track selectors if you want. We just like to play music.
Music and, curators.
Yeah, whatever. Music curators, whatever you like to say. But DJs is not it. That is not. We do not beat match or anything like that. We just like to play music for people because that enjoy music, basically.
And it was really interesting, actually, when we first stepped in there, when he was still in the front room and we were in the back. And I think he knew somebody came in his store because there's like a little, you know, like a sensor alarm thing. But he didn't know, you know, exactly who came in. But he was having a conversation with another customer about the Misfits versus Kiss.
Yeah, the conversation was intense. And it's awesome to hear, like, someone who's just passionate about music and have a conversation about something like that. And just obviously, we weren't right there when he was having it. We were in the back and he was in the front. But it was really cool to hear just somebody just talk about music.
Yeah, and that's exactly the kind of conversation I think... Not necessarily that particular one, but the kind of stuff when you walk into a record store that, like, you don't mind hearing. And it's all friendly debate. There was no, like, seriousness. There was no heated. There was, like, there was passion, but no one was heated where they were being, like, negative or rude. And it was just interesting to hear their different perspectives on the bands. And because basically the guy that was arguing for the Misfits was, like, you know, Kiss was corny and, like, saying all this stuff. And then the other person was like, maybe they're corny, but there would be no Misfits without Kiss.
Yeah, so Gilbert, the owner, is a huge Kiss fan, so that's who was arguing for Kiss.
Yeah, so...
So after that, we had talked about... We somehow, it segued into horoscopes. And they were talking about their signs, which were Scorpio, and I looked at Drea and I laughed because what they were talking about related to her exactly what they were saying.
Oh, see, and okay, I can't say I'm the biggest horoscope like person, like astrology, excuse me, but I'm like, you know, I feel like people give Scorpios bad raps because I don't know why. Like, I get along with other Scorpios, to be honest, and like, with my mom, with all the siblings that I have, like, two of my other siblings are Scorpios. I get along with them. I got two siblings that are Leos. I get along with them. Andrew's a Libra. My mom's actually a Libra. I don't get along with her. No, I'm just kidding. But no, I love my mom. Just, like, giving her a hard time. But, yeah, so it's just, like, some interesting, you know, conversations. Really good conversations. We were actually at Vinylsaurus for how long?
We were there for about almost 5 hours.
So, was it really 5 hours? Yeah,
we got there around like 1 o'clock and we left there around 6. And so we didn't even know. A lot of the time we were looking, we were digging. It's not like we weren't digging because we were. But it was just the conversation we were having. And having that conversation with Gilbert, the owner, and just like getting to know him and getting to know his insights on multiple things, not just music or, you know, what we how music culture is right now. We talked about collectors and how certain collectors are trying to flex on Instagram and be Instagram famous and stuff like that. We talked about, you know, we talked about all that stuff because those are things that I like to hear different perspectives of. Dre likes to hear different perspectives of that really, really drive the culture. And, you know, especially because social media is so big right now.
Yeah, because we're here in Arizona, but like we always say, there's a big old record universe and they're part of that universe. And, you know, they're in a bigger, what people consider a bigger market. So, you know, things can be different out there than they are here. And so it's just always interesting to hear different perspectives. And what's nice is when you're talking about something, when you're talking about something like music, even though music is super, it really is a personal thing, you can have discussions about things without getting like pissed off at each other and being like, I'm never going to talk to you again. Because music is actually something that brings people together.
Yeah, we said it and we will keep saying it's universal. You can't put a label on anybody who likes music because I'm sure there is someone else out there who enjoys the same type of music.
Yeah, you can't look at somebody and just assume like, and it does happen a lot. People assume you only like one type of music. I get that all the time because at the cafe on Saturdays, I usually spin like hip hop and R&B, but my musical palette is so much more wider than that. And I don't think there's anything wrong with people that only want to collect one or two genres or that's pretty much the only thing they connect with. That's fine. But it's not okay to just sit here and want to pigeonhole people. Like, I mean, people do it to me. It doesn't matter at the end of the day because it's kind of like an irrelevant thing. You know, it's not affecting anyone's life. But, you know, I just feel like it's not okay to pigeonhole people and assume because I meet people from all walks of life and, you know, I'll just be talking a conversation. I'm like, oh, yeah, so-and-so told me that they had this record. And they'll be like, that person listened to this? And it's like, you know, why assume that they do or don't like something? It's like everybody has their own taste and there's nothing wrong with that. You know, everybody can listen to whatever the heck they want.
Exactly. So, you know, that was one of the things we talked about. But it was just, I think the best thing is like every time we would talk about something, he would be talking to Dre, like, you know how we are, we're Scorpios. And it was so funny because it just worked. It was so
too,
well.
Saying it was too true.
It was, you know, so like it was just so perfect. The conversation was so good. We had a very long, we ended up staying there till like 6 o'clock. So we just basically wrapped it up and went back to go visit with our family because we hadn't really got to see them. So, and then on Saturday, what did we do on Saturday? Oh, Corgi Beach Day. So we went to go see some corgis on Corgi
yes,
Beach Day.
So we actually have 4 dogs and they all happen to be corgis. So I know it's really cheesy, but I really don't care because everybody that knows me on a personal level knows that I love my dogs and they're all corgis. So didn't take them with us. So Corgi Beach Day happened. It was at Huntington Beach Dog Park. So we went with our family. Not just like the three of us, my Andrew and our daughter, but our little bit extended fam went with us, went to the beach, had some fun. It was really cool. They were actually playing music there too.
Yeah, they just had live. I think they just had like
an iPod hookup style.
Yeah, it was cool.
But it helped with the vibe too because it wasn't just silent. So we left there. And then from there, that's where we went to Norwalk Records.
So, yeah, we ended up going to Norwalk Records.
Which we had never been to before.
Yeah, we had never been. We had, the last time we tried to go there, I think we went on a Monday. And they were closed. And I actually mentioned that to the worker. I didn't catch her name, unfortunately. But she was super sweet and super knowledgeable. She's the buyer there. So we were just talking with her. I was talking with her. Dre was talking with her. And just like, it was just a different vibe there at Norwalk Records.
Yeah, it was so interesting to go to Vinylsaurus because Vinylsaurus has been around, I believe, for a few years. I think he started off as a private dealer.
Yeah, so we're talking about private dealers versus
vendors
whatever. Yeah, so I guess now the proper term is private dealers.
Yeah, so I believe he started off as like a private dealer and then he eventually worked his way and he kind of has his own storefront. But Norwalk Records is actually kind of a historical landmark, I believe, in Norwalk. I know that's not the original location that it's in. But it's been around since, I guess, forever. Like, my Andrew's, I can want to always want to say my husband, like he's not by me, but Andrew's family is actually from Norwalk, and his mom said she remembers Norwalk records from back in the day.
Yeah, I'm not completely sure, but I'm pretty sure she had told me the worker there that the building they are in is the original building. It's been there for over like for 50 years, but they use that one for like a hub, like it'll be like a main office at one time, but then.
So it was like in that same like little strip mall, but then they eventually just moved the actual record store where the space that they were already using, but they moved like the actual store in there.
Yeah, I'm not completely sure. So,
but it was a bank.
Yeah, I'm not, like I said, I'm not completely sure.
Because someone had told you about the vault.
Yeah, someone had told me about the vault, and I did ask about the vault. I was like, hey, so you have the vault up top, right? And she's like, yeah, that's only for like our personal friends here. And so I was like, oh, well, is there, like, certain stuff up there that you don't let anybody see? She's like, not necessarily. She's like, you know, we usually put it out a lot of the stuff up there is, like, on our Discogs page and stuff like that. And so we talked about that a lot, about how, you know, records, you know, selling online to different people is what's keeping the doors open in a lot of these record stores.
Unfortunately,
you know, but, you know, I'm glad that, you know, even though it's kind of frowned upon, well, not necessarily frowned upon, but there's a lot of people who just buy online. At least, you know, if you're going to buy online, try to buy from these record stores who have all these great collections so that they can keep their brick and mortar still open.
Well, what blows my mind too is like people will buy, and there's nothing wrong, especially like some people have physical disabilities and all this other stuff. Sometimes it's more within their budget online. I get that. But if you are able-bodied, or if you're, you know, it's within your budget and things like that, make sure that you go to, you know, your local stores. Because I see people all the time buying stuff online that they actually could buy here and they could get it for the exact same price. And it's just kind of like, you know, go out there and support and just be out there connecting with your community and with these other store owners that are actually here, because we are so lucky that we have so many record stores in the Phoenix area, especially because we were so dry for so long. And you know, just like I said, I'm not talking negative about people that buy online, because we buy some stuff online too, but just like with us, Stinkweeds here gets like a lot of the Big Crowns and Coal Mines and stuff. So now that when we learned that, we're like, okay, you know, we're going to go there first to try to get our records. And I believe Zia might get some things here and there, but not the same as Stinkweeds, right? For like all that stuff, the Modern Soul.
Yeah, I think that right now Stinkweeds, from what they say, they have a really good relationship with Daptone and Big Crown, and they're continuously like growing their relationship with them. So they don't have an exclusive, but that right now they're like the only indie store that I'm aware of that's carrying those two brands.
And if we're wrong, let us know, and we'll say, hey, this record store gets them too. But that's what we're saying, you know. Just that's the whole point of the podcast, is community and going out there, connecting with people, and just talking about the music you like. And you never know, someone might be like, you know what? Because we run into it too, where people are like, hey, I picked this up and like, it's cool, it's not bad, but it's not really my thing. So do you want to trade, you know, one record for another, this and that? So don't just be online and being like, I'm going to buy a bunch of one thing and I'm going to use that as currency. It's like, buy what you like. There's nothing wrong with trading and doing all this stuff. There's nothing wrong with buying online, but just go out there in your stores if you're able to, if you're, you know, privileged enough to do that, and buy, because that's how establishments like Norwalk Records and Vinyl Source and all the amazing record stores that we have here are going to be able to stay open.
Exactly. So like I said, we went to Norwalk. After Norwalk, we headed back to hang out with our family, watch a scary movie, and pretty much wrapped up the night. And so we woke up this morning a little.
Hold on. Were you scared?
No.
Freddy Krueger? I never seen
Nightmare on Elm Street. It was definitely creepy. Not scary. Maybe if I was like Mimi's age, I would have been probably kind of scared.
Do you like the special effects?
The special effects were awesome. It was really, really, like, for its time in the 80s, that movie was super dope.
Okay, I want to say something. So we're watching the movie, right? And he watched literally from the beginning where the credits are and everything. So he read the credits. And there's one part, it's towards the freaking end. And he's like, wait, that's Johnny Depp? And we're like, It said at the beginning, introducing Johnny Depp, and he's like, "Well, I was waiting for him." And we're like, "What are you waiting for, Jack Sparrow to come on the screen?" Like,
yeah, I guess I was just expecting for him to have a more stronger presence. But oh, so, wait, yeah.
So have you ever seen the original 21 Jump Street with him and Richard Grieco?
Probably not. Oh, anyways, my gosh. Moving on.
Like, he doesn't want to talk about his. He's like, "I'm uncultured." No, I'm just kidding.
This isn't a movie podcast. This is a music podcast and a record podcast. He's like,
stop calling me out, B. But okay.
No, not at all. I'm just saying.
He never calls me that. I'm just saying. Okay, so, but yeah, so that was Saturday. And then we're like, oh, we're going to leave Sunday. And then one of the disappointing things was we wanted to go to the jungle. So we always talk about Record Jungle. They always have good stuff. And we made a point to leave a little later today. That's why we got home so late, because we wanted to go dig at the jungle.
Yeah, so we went to Record Jungle right when they opened at 11 o'clock today. We were literally the only ones in there for hours. There was no one there. We were there.
Like, I think two or three people came and they looked and they just left.
Yeah, because, you know, that's the way it is. But, you know, we were in there for a couple hours, and my goodness, they have a lot of stuff. Even, you know, more so than last time. So, you know, we were able to go through some stuff, and I got a few Latin records, a few 45s, some soul, some punk, some disco. We all, you know, Dre got some more, got some dope freaking soul and some dope ass disco too. We got a whole bunch of stuff. So, yeah, obviously the jungle, it has a good reputation. The worker there was fantastic.
Well, and even though I said I hate being pigeonholed, but I did buy more hip hop and R&B. From the 90s and 2000, I bought more. But yes, I bought disco and soul, and I bought these cool freaking Japanese records. And not just like a Japanese pressing, like actual Japanese music. And one of the 45s, actually, I was so drawn to it because they had a listening station there, and I played it. And it was an all-male band. And it sounded so much like, you know, some like Latin music. And I was like, I gotta get this. I'm gonna play this one day. So maybe I'll put together a set that has it in there. But I always, you know, even if I can't understand what they're saying, you can still appreciate the music, right?
Exactly. I mean, I buy Latin music, and my Spanish is not very good, as far as I barely know any Spanish, but I still enjoy it. It's just music that's in Spanish, or Latin music, whatever you want to call it. Always reminds me of like my grandfather and stuff like that, and just my family. So I like to purchase it, and
well,
I enjoy it.
His grandpa was actually in a band.
Yeah, he was in a band a long time ago. So every time I listen to it, I like to just, you know, just different genre that I like to collect. So, you know, I don't need to necessarily understand everything they're saying to enjoy the music, because music's universal, like we always say.
Yes. So with all the record stores that we went to, we had really great experiences. I regret not getting a T-shirt from Vinylsaurus. Like an actual Vinylsaurus store. I don't know if he had any at the moment.
I didn't ask.
I didn't see any. Or even the Norwalk shirt was super cool. I liked it.
Yeah, it was just really basic.
So we had a big weekend of digging. And like we said, we were able to go to three separate record stores that were not from those areas, but they were all welcoming. They all had, you know, pretty good stuff. And it was just nice to, you know, dig in different places and see different people and to have some really, really great conversation. Like we said, especially at Vinylsaurus. So shout out to Gilbert and David there. At Norwalk Records, they were really kind. There was, you know, if you're really, I don't know if you already had said this and I didn't catch it, I'm sorry. But if you're really into like oldies and soul and stuff, Norwalk is definitely the place to be.
Yeah, they have a lot of people who make like comps, like CD comps still, of like their oldies and soul music, and so they sell a lot of that too.
There's some guy that went in there when we were in there that got he was getting a CD burned of a comp.
Yeah, so, you know,
which I was like, whoa, I haven't heard somebody ask for that in a minute. But
yeah, it's Norwalk was a different type of experience, and it was really, really nice. I was able to get some Joe Patan's. Two Joe Patan records
Ralphie
there.
Ralphie Pagan, did you get that?
We did not get the Ralphie Pagan because we got the Munsters.
What?
No.
Shut up.
No, we didn't get the Ralphie Pagan.
Yes, we did.
No, I didn't. I don't know. Maybe we did. I don't know.
I don't know. I got to look in the bag because we were, like I said, being tight. So we had some stuff saved for this trip, and They at Norwalk too. What was she telling you about one of the records? Or they were telling you too about they pretty much sell. They have a lot of 45s there that are just like, is it $2 or $3?
Most of the 45s they have.
I'm not talking about in the book, the non-book 45s.
In the book, they're all $5, and I believe.
I just said I'm not talking.
I'm getting there. In the book, they're all $5, and all the other 45s are, I think, $3 or 4 for $10.
Yes, it depends on what little area they're in.
Yeah.
But they had a lot of 12 inches there too, so I did get more hip hop and R&B from there. And there was just so much stuff at every single store that I was like, I want this. But I was trying to still be conscious of everything that I was buying. And I did splurge on a month. There's the Munsters, you know, the TV show. So I started trying to splurge on that. I did splurge on that because I really wanted it. It was reissued. So I was really excited to find that because I actually couldn't find that here.
Yeah, it was it, but they had it there. And so... Yeah, it was really cool. They had a lot of cool stuff that, you know, obviously we don't see here in Phoenix, but it was nice. All the record stores we went to, they were, like Drea said, were super welcoming, and it was a really, really nice experience. Not like we haven't been there before. We've been to Vinyl Source and Record Jungle before. Yes. But just going back and taking, I guess you can say, looking at it from a different angle, because, you know, we were looking at it to basically come back and talk to everybody else about it. And the experiences we had were fantastic.
And didn't you say, he said something to you about he wanted to buy some records and he would buy certain 45s for like $10, but they only priced them at $5, so he was losing out or something like that?
Yeah, we were talking about records that he can still...
This is at Norwalk.
Yeah, and the owner said he can still get a hold of certain records, but he has to pay at least $10 to $20 for them, and he only sells them for $5, so he doesn't get copies of them anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, so just go and support your local guys, or if you're, you know, and we actually didn't make it to Amoeba, which we usually go to Amoeba at least like once. We don't stay there all day, but someone had commented in one of the record stores, like, you know, not that Amoeba isn't cool, but they're like, if you want some, you know, really cool, like, represses or reissues, yeah, go to Amoeba because they'll have them there. And I noticed they usually have them a little bit cheaper, and that's probably because the way they get them at wholesale, I'm assuming. But I guess that's really it. That was our trip, right?
Yeah, that was pretty much our trip. You did forget to highlight one thing.
What?
For Fridays.
Oh my god, yeah. I'm dropping the ball there. So this first Friday, it's gonna be November 2nd at Palabras Bookstore. It's gonna be from 6 PM to 9 PM. There's gonna be art by the All Electric Kitchen, and I believe he's gonna have new pieces there. So he's going to have some new pieces. It's at the opening of the Hosh Gallery inside of Palabras. So go ahead and come on in. And the Beat It Bakery is going to be open. So they're going to have like snacks and, you know, little kind of goodies. And you can get some coffee and I believe like kind of teas and drinks like that. So the Crate Creepers, which is the record club I'm in, we're going to be providing the music. So come by and look at some really awesome art. Come to the bookstore, check it out, because Rosie's super amazing. Everybody knows I'm a big fan of Rosie. And listen to some music. Maybe I'll be spinning hip-hop and R&B. I don't know. I haven't decided yet. So I'm going to be working on my set soon. But me and the girls will be there. And yeah, so just roll through. And it's going to be from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And I believe we're going to might be there every first Friday for at least a few months. So I'll let you guys know. If you have any questions, you can always DM us on Just Keep Spinning Podcast, which is our Instagram, or email us at justkeepspinningpodcast@gmail.com. And I guess that's pretty much it, right?
Yeah. So thank you for anybody who listened to us. I know this isn't the most exciting episode, but, you know, we really wanted to highlight the record stores we went to and all the love we got and all the positive, you know, just basically give everyone positive feedback on the experiences we had there in California.
Yeah,
and to clear up the whole De La Cruz
vinyl. Yeah, the Ernesto De La Cruz fiasco that I started. So sorry, it was my fault. I'm the one who posted it, not Andrew. So I guess
it's not that you started. You didn't start anything. It was definitely interesting, and it was definitely funny.
I wish it was real.
We do wish it was real, and hopefully they'll come out with like a Coco album that looks like that.
So with that being said, don't stop digging and just keep swinging.
Thanks, guys.